Hey, you're listening to the Encounter Church podcast. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit us at ecdenver.org, or you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Thank you for listening.
Tonight, I just want to share with you for a few moments some things that God has just really been impressing on my heart. And this is a hard message. I've been really wrestling with this on how to communicate this well, how to express God's heart in moments that we've been living in. You know, 2020 has been a very hard year. It's been a turn your life upside down year. We've lived through a few months of a worldwide shutdown, the case of which the world has never lived through or experienced before to this magnitude and level. And then just as we are shifting out of that and trying to reopen and trying to figure out what new normal looks like and how do we re-engage in our lives, we are faced with the horror of the murder of George Floyd in one of our major American cities. And I have to tell you, when I watched that video, it hurt me so deeply, and it broke me in my heart. Because what I saw was a man made in the image of God whose life breath that God had put inside of him, seeing that breath choked out of him to the point of death. And I sat there, and as I was trying to process that, I was like, God, I don't even know how to process what I'm seeing. What am I even observing here in this moment? And God spoke to me and said, Aaron, you're seeing sin. It goes much deeper than all the different things we may see in the world. It goes straight to sin. You're seeing sin enacted upon another human being. And that original sin leads to death every time. And it just broke my heart. And as I was sitting there talking with God and thinking about this message tonight, I asked him, I said, God, how am I supposed to help my family navigate this? And when I say my family, I'm talking about you, Encounter Church. I'm talking about my church family. Because what I love about this church and this family that we have is that when I grab the mic on a Sunday morning to do transition, or I'm preaching a message just like this, or you've invited me into your home like you are right now, I love it because I see the family of God in the way that He intended it to be. All colors, ethnicities, voices, languages represented. And it's so beautiful because it's the way that God intended it. It's the way that God made mankind to be. And I love that about our church, that when I look out into the audience, when I look out to you now, I don't just see myself reflected back or versions of myself. I see a plethora. I see a beautiful coat of many colors and many representations of God's creation. And it's such a beautiful thing. And so I'm like, hey, God, how do I help us all navigate this and just process this? And what are we supposed to do with this? Because we have all types of different people that come and call this place home, that call this place a family. We have small business owners. We have police officers. We have college students. We have firefighters. We have first responders. We have first generation immigrants. We have people that can trace their lineage all the way to the founding of this country. And we all come together because we get to worship our Heavenly Father together, and we know that we're one in Christ Jesus. And that's what brings us unity, is Jesus Christ and the love that He has asked each one of us to show to one another and to pour out towards one another and to live. And none of us are perfect. Jesus said, those without sins cast the first stone. None of us are perfect, myself included. We need Jesus Christ to help us live out that love, that mercy, that grace, and to walk humbly with our Father and to act justly towards one another and to love mercy towards one another. And so as I was just thinking on this and processing all of this, the Lord brought me to Matthew chapter 5, 13. And we're going to start there. And if I have my, here we go, awesome. In this set of scripture, I believe that Jesus just takes a snapshot of how we're supposed to live, because that's what really what I'm trying to figure out for myself. I'm sure you are too. God, how am I as a Christian supposed to live this life during all this chaos, during all of this confusion in this world right now, in a way that we've never seen before to this extent? And Jesus says this in Matthew 5:13. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." And the title of this message is "The Salt of the Earth and Light in the Darkness." And I went out and I got some salt for us here to just kind of take a look at. This is what Jesus Christ calls each one of us who walk with him: the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. And for you and me, it may be kind of a hard concept to grasp here in the 21st century, but for Jesus and in his time, it represented something valuable. Salt was something that was very valuable. To go mine it, it took a lot of effort. It took a lot of energy. It took a lot of manpower to dig deep and bring out this mineral that was very valuable. And in fact, Roman soldiers during the last part of BC and into the first century AD, they were often paid with salt, a bag of salt. And that's actually where we get the word salary that we know today. When they couldn't come up with coin, depending on where they were, they knew that salt had a high value and that they could pay their soldiers with salt and they could trade it for whatever commodities that they needed anywhere in the Roman world. And so it's something that is valuable. Jesus Christ is saying that you are valuable. No matter what situation you're going through, no matter what you're feeling right now, know that you are valuable and loved by your Heavenly Father. He cares for you so, so much. And as I looked at and kind of did some research on some other things about salt, what are the values of salt? What does salt do? One of the other things that it does is that salt purifies and it heals. That it purifies and disinfects. You can use it to clean if you have to. And it can purify hard hearts and purify sin patterns. You know, maybe during this coronavirus, you've discovered that, wow, I'm living in some sin patterns in my life that I thought I had taken care of and I thought that I had had freedom in because of Christ Jesus, but they keep coming up. Jesus said, "You are salt of the earth. You are pure and holy before me. Walk in that purity. I've empowered you to do so." But it also heals. You know, you can pack a wound with it and it can clean out the bacteria and clean out the infection. And in fact, recently, during this whole coronavirus, my son, he came to me and he had a little like canker sore, you know, in his mouth. And he said, "Daddy, my mouth hurts. I got a sore in my mouth. It hurts when I eat." And I said, "Okay, let me see, son." And I looked and I saw what was going on. And I said, "Son, the only thing that I know how to fix that with is salt. We need to pour some salt on that wound to heal it and to close it up and for you to be healed." He said, "Daddy, is it going to hurt?" I said, "It might sting some. It might hurt some." He said, "Daddy, I don't really want to do that." I said, "Son, that's the only way that we're going to be able to heal that up and free you from that pain that you're experiencing." And so he said, "Yes." He's like, "Okay, Daddy." So we put the salt in there and it hurt much more even than I anticipated it would be. But what was amazing is that the next morning it had subsided and it shrunk down significantly. And by the second day it was completely gone. We only had to apply it one time. And Jesus is saying to you and me that as the salt of the earth, you are called to heal broken wounds, to heal heartache, to heal the divide that can often occur in our culture, in our society. Be a healer. Be a unifier. Be someone that purifies that which is infected with something that can cause rot, that can cause decay. And so God's saying that you have that power and you have that ability. And he's called us to walk that out in our lives. Salt also has the ability to preserve. You know, prior to the 20th century and the invention of refrigeration, the major number one way to preserve food throughout all human history was to put it in salt. Salt pork, you may have heard if you read old stories and books, you know, and things like that. That's how they preserved meat, to keep it from rotting. And I can bet you if I took a really nice, good steak and I threw it out on the hot concrete for a day, We'd have flies over it. It'd be starting to stink. It'd be starting to rot. And God's saying, our job is to preserve and keep out the rot of society, to keep out the rot of sin in our lives, in our families, and to preserve. And so God's asking each one of us to preserve his holiness, to preserve his love in every area of our lives, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, with each other, to preserve his love and holiness, and to keep out that rot that can easily eat away at that love for our fellow man, our love for one another. And it's funny, I was thinking about this, in that purification, going back to that for just a moment, you know, my son's mouth. I think it's very easy, particularly in times like these, to say things out of our mouths. And God's asking you, will you purify and will you heal your mouth? Because out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And what's going on in here? And I think that it can be even boiled down to things that we may say about other people and how they've been raised or how they live or who they are or what they look like. And God's saying, you need to purify that. Or it could be even as simple as, you know, your pro-mask or anti-mask during this coronavirus, and, you know, everyone that wears a mask, you have certain things that you want to say about them, and you're condescending towards them. The people that don't wear masks, you know, you have a viewpoint of those who do. And God's asking you to purify your words. How are you? Are you healing? Are you bringing healing to the moment? And then finally, salt was used to show oneness or a coming together. Oftentimes, if you remember, maybe you've seen in movies, you know, a blood oath, you would cut your hand and the other person would cut a hand and then you'd shake hands and make a pact and a deal together. We see that sometimes in the Old Testament. You'd often do this with salt. You would have a little pouch on your belt full of salt, and then someone else would have a pouch full of salt, and you would take a few kernels and you would put your salt in their bag, and then they would take a pinch from their bag and put it in your bag. And before you know it, I can't tell the difference on what's going on in this salt pile and your salt pile. I can't discern which grains I put in your bag, and you can't discern which grains were in my bag. There's a unity that occurs, and we can't separate any longer. And that's what God's calling each one of us to be, a unifier of culture, a unifier of our fellow man, our unifier of each other. And he's always asking us throughout all of Scripture, be unified. So let's unify together. As a Roman soldier, your salt payment may be cut short and cut back if you were not getting the job done, which is where we get the term, he's not worth his salt. Family, I don't know about you, but I want to be worth my salt. Not only for you as the Encounter Church family, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, but for Christ Jesus as well. But I can only do that. I can only be worth my salt. You can only be worth your salt with Jesus' help. I cannot do this on my own. You can't do it on your own. You need Jesus. So ask him this evening. We're going to have a moment here in just a few minutes after another point where we're going to go into worship, and I'm going to encourage you to do that. Let's be worth our salt. But that can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. The second part of that verse, Matthew 5:14-16 says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and then put it under a basket, but put it on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." I have here one of my favorite little lanterns I go camping with. Often brings me light. It's reliable. Jesus is saying, this is you. You are the light of the world. That light that burns within you is salvation through Jesus Christ. Because I don't know about you, there have been moments, particularly in these last few weeks, where it's felt very dark, very hopeless, this world can feel like there's no hope in society, there will never be any change. Maybe the coronavirus has hit you very hard. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost your job, you've been furloughed. Maybe you had a business and you had to shut it down and you don't know if you'll ever start it again because of this. And your life's dream has been destroyed and you don't know if you'll ever be able to rebuild. And you're like, God, it seems so dark right now. How will things ever be different? Where will the light ever come from? And God's saying, I've put my light inside of you. If you know me and you are my child, saved by Jesus Christ, this light burns in you. You are that light. Let your works, let your mouth, let your attitude, let everything you do point back to me, Jesus Christ. And as you do that, you will begin to illuminate the dark places in this world, in our culture, maybe in your personal life, wherever it may be. Jesus saying, this lives within you. Do not be afraid. And this is what I love about a lantern or any source of light, is that a lantern is not affected by the environment around it. The darkness of the environment cannot affect this lantern. As soon as it turns on, the lantern affects the environment. And God is calling each one of us and saying to each one of us, you can affect the environment around you. Just let my light shine within you. Simple acts of service, simple acts of putting your fellow man before yourself, showing love with your word and then with your deed. He's saying you will affect the environment around you. And it starts small, but it has ripple effects that will change time, that will change our life, and will change our world if we allow God to do what he wants to do inside of us and be that light that he's put inside each and every one of us. So family, I don't know about you, I want to light up not only the whole house that is Encounter Church, and I know you do too, but I want to light up my world because of what Jesus Christ has done inside of me and what he's done inside of you. And we're learning, we're growing, we're changing all the time, becoming more like Christ and less like this world, less like the sin that we see so prevalent around us.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about Encounter Church, visit ecdenver.org or find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram.